Welcome to the Westside Gathering Podcast. We appreciate you making time to learn and grow with us. Here you'll find teaching from our live Sunday gatherings. After the message, we'll say a little more about our church and how you can connect. But for now, have a listen.
Are you guys ready to jump into the scripture? We good? Awesome. Last week, we started a series called Marked by Resurrection because we don't want to just allow Easter to kind of be in the past. We want to live into this season of Easter. And we said last week, whatever marks you changes you. And whatever changes you gives you a new perspective. And we started to look at one feature of resurrection that marks us, and we talked about wonder, how we're marked with wonder, and how wonder leads us to worship, wonder leads us to bear witness, and wonder leads us to stay curious, that Christ followers of anybody should be curious people, always growing. And today I want to explore one more mark of the resurrection. We're gonna look at a few. We could, you know, go on for weeks looking at how the resurrection marks us, but we're going to pick a few. If you got your Bibles, turn to Luke 24. If you don't got a Bible and you'd like to borrow a Bible, we have some in the back, and you can just grab one there, and the page number is right at the bottom, and you can use that page number to find Luke 24 if you're unfamiliar with Scripture. And here it goes. We're going to jump right into the story today, where we left off last week in Luke 24. Now, the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up, walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our own companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared before their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures?' They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Let's just pause and pray for a second. God, we just long for this scripture to, as we sit with it, that you would speak to us, that you would grab a hold of our hearts, that you would say way more than I could possibly say. I know my words are limited, but your words, God, your voice, we long for. And so we just say yes to how you want to speak and move in us today, regardless of where we are on our spiritual journey, whether we've been following you for years or have just showed up this morning looking for life and something more. God, would you speak to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love this story, and it's a continuation from last week. If you were with us, we were in Luke 24, and so Luke says the same day, meaning that resurrection day, the first day of the week, he continues to tell us what's taking place, and he speaks about two people. The assumption is that these two people were either friends, or maybe it's a husband and wife, but they were part of Jesus' discipleship community, not the 11 disciples, but this larger circle of disciples, just like the women were. And so here are these people people walking home, unpacking the events of the weekend. They know, they're talking about the fact that Jesus died. They're sharing the fact that the women came and told them that they showed up to the tomb and the tomb was empty, but they didn't see Jesus. So they're still downcast. They're still sad. They're still disappointed. They're somewhat disillusioned because they don't know yet that Jesus is alive. In fact, they specifically said, Luke says that they said they hoped he was the one that would redeem Israel. They were still hoping. They were still in that moment, that posture of hoping for something that wasn't realized, that wasn't fulfilled. And here's Jesus showing up on their walk to Emmaus, 7-mile walk to Emmaus. Jesus posing as some oblivious neutral citizen. I don't know how all that happened, but they didn't recognize who he was. And he's asking them, like, what are you talking about? And he remains subtle. He remains ambiguous. And there's so much in this passage that we could talk about, but I want to focus on one particular way the resurrection marks us. The resurrection marks us with presence. I was going to use the word relationship, but relationship doesn't really get at the heart of what presence gets at. There's a word, a little four-letter word, that comes up 4 or 5 times in this text. Luke uses it. And it's a simple word. It's the word with. Just a simple word, with. 4 or 5 times. He uses it to help us understand, like, what's happening as they encounter Jesus? What's going on as they encounter Jesus? And it's very possible, very likely, that Luke had already been familiar with Mark's gospel, and Mark was the first one to write an account of Jesus' life. And when Mark tells us that when Jesus chose his disciples, in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, Mark says that he appointed the 12 that they might be with him. Like, of all the things that Jesus intended for his disciples, to be on mission, to be fishers of men, to go out and baptize, to go out and reflect his message to the world around them, to reflect his kingdom, Jesus appoints these 12 people to be with him. Just think about that word, to be with him. And that helps us understand that the resurrected Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, chooses to show up to be with his followers. To be with his followers. The first with in this passage is verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them. I don't know, I just think that's kind of unique. Because Jesus rose from the dead in about 40 days, he's going to be ascended into God's space, into heaven, into God's realm. So he has 40 days to, like, prepare his disciples, 40 days to prove that he's alive, 40 days that the hinge of his resurrection would impact the rest of history up until now and into the future. So he has limited time to show people he's alive with this pivotal opportunity to prove he's resurrected, yet Jesus walks away from Jerusalem and walks towards Emmaus for 7 miles. Like, why didn't he stay at the center of the action? To this obscure town. Why didn't he show up to it like a Roman official and say, hey, I'm alive. You guys tried to kill me. Why didn't he show up to a religious leader? You guys wanted me dead, but hey, I'm alive. Why didn't he first maybe go to his disciples, as Luke describes this, which he will eventually. But he goes to walk alongside these two people, maybe a couple, not part of the core disciples, the 11, part of this larger group of followers of Jesus, and he walks with them. He chooses to come alongside them and walks with them. And he doesn't rush to reveal himself. He doesn't say, hey, like, it's me. He just walks beside them and talks with them. And when you think about walking with people, it's an expression of relationship. It's an expression of presence. You walk with people. When you walk with people, it helps you get to know people. How many times have you discovered more about someone on a walk? Isn't that true? How many friends do you have today? Maybe I'm sure there's one or two friends that your first encounter with them that kind of shifted your relationship to becoming friends was maybe a walk. You took a walk with friends, you were walking around, and all of a sudden you're talking a little bit more. How often at work, if you're at work and you're trying to figure something out at work and there's a meeting going on and then the meeting's over and you're like, you know what, let's get out of this place, let's take a walk and let's figure this out. We'll talk this out, we'll walk this out, and we'll figure it out a little bit together. How many people that maybe are married here started their relationship on a walk? When I was 17, well, when my wife was 17 years old, we were at a youth retreat. We knew each other, but on the evening, I don't know if maybe it was Friday or Saturday night, a whole bunch of us walked to the dépanneur that was about like a mile away. And so we walked. I remember exactly what my wife was wearing. I remember what her hair looked like that day. I remember getting to know her in a different way. I don't know, something happened on that walk where I got to know her more, and there was an intrigue there, and that led to whatever us getting married. And it started on that walk. We got to know each other. Walks help you get to know people. Walks reflect friendships. Some people after church or on the weekend say, hey, why don't we meet up at Point Clear Village? Let's take a walk around the water. Let's grab a coffee and take a walk. Let's walk around Centennial Park. Let's walk like that. I have a distinct memory in my mind. I was 17. My twin brother and I, and my dad, I don't know why we just decided to take a walk that night. I don't know if my dad said, let's walk, or it wasn't something we did all the time. And it had just finished raining, and so you felt kind of the humidity in the air. I remember what my dad was wearing. I remember the conversation we had. For some reason, that walk with my dad had a deeper conversation than we've normally had before. What I mean by that is even my dad was being a little bit more vulnerable with us teenagers, telling us some of the things he was going through. I was like, oh, and I remember that. It happened on a walk where he shared some stuff with us. And it's so vivid in my mind. Jesus walks with them. The resurrected Christ spends time to be in relationship, interested in relationship with them. He comes alongside them and walks with them. The next time the word with comes up in this text, it's not walks with, it stays with. And it's important, you know, because there's an important conversation going on. Like, who is Jesus? What's just happened? They're talking to Jesus. He talks back to them. They're giving him some information. He, you know, kind of responds a little bit as well. He starts to talk about, how the story of God and the plan, and they start to tell him what's going on. And it's all really, really important conversation. They're about to part ways. They're about to part ways, and Jesus continues, Luke tells us, as if he's walking further. It's kind of like Jesus is continuing to walk, and have you ever done this? Like you're waiting for the invitation? You're hoping they're going to invite you? You're hoping they're going to say, stay a little bit? And Luke tells us, Jesus walks as if he's walking further, like he's setting up the moment or something. And maybe he's testing them. Maybe it's a subtle way of him wanting them to invite him and him not to invite himself over. And then they ask Jesus, hey, would you stay with us? Would you stay with us? Would you come in? It's only early. It's only afternoon. It's not even evening yet. Would you stay with us? And verse 29 tells us that Jesus went to stay with them. It went from a walk along the road to an evening in their home. It took another level, another step of relationship. Jesus stays with them. He's intent on being with them. And it's in a moment of staying with them where the conversation deepens, where maybe the interactions deepen, where he hears their heart, or maybe there's some stuff that we don't hear everything that's going on. Luke doesn't tell us everything that goes on in that moment, but they're given space to grow deeper and to be present with him and him to be present with them. And there's something really important here that we shouldn't miss, and it's this part. Jesus always shows up where he's wanted. Just think about that for a second. Jesus always shows up where he's wanted. And one of the reasons we do monthly prayer nights, it's not some ritual or routine. We believe God shows up where he's wanted. And that we as a church long for God to be active and present among us. Jesus shows up where he's wanted. When we're looking, when we desire it, when we want it, when we invite him, he comes in. The end of the scriptures, Revelation chapter 3, says that he stands at the door and knocks. He's waiting for an invitation. Jesus is ready to stay with us, but notice that he was going to walk further, but it required an invitation for him to come in. And when they said, would you stay with us? He immediately joined them, immediately went into their home, immediately took the time to be with them. And then we get the main with moment. There's another with in this text that's really, really important. And it's in verse 30 where we read that when he, Jesus, was at the table with them, so just pause there. He went in to stay with them, and then when he was at the table with them, we know that when things move to the table, things get serious. Isn't that true? Even in your house, does that happen? When things get to the table, things get a little bit more serious. When you want to get to know someone, there's potential for something deeper. When people are around the table, they're sharing a meal, they're talking, they're interacting, they're face-to-face, they're learning about each other, they're seeing each other eat. I grew up in a home where my dad, in the second half of his life, was a pastor, and often guests from out of town or around the world would come in, maybe speakers or things like that, and they would come and hang out in our house and spend time with us, and we would eat, whether it was around the dining room table or the kitchen table. I remember particularly there was this group of young people from Europe that came for a mission trip to Canada, and just around the table in our home, we heard their stories and their jokes, obviously, and how they were unpacking faith where they lived in the world and some of the struggles they went through. And we got a chance to sit and listen and learn and talk with each other and share. And it was often at those tables where we were encouraged in faith as well as we just interacted with each other with our own walk with the Lord. And I think that happens at the table. And you know what this is like. Like, it's very different if you're someone comes to your house and Frederica, you come to my house and you're like, yeah, I want to drop something off, and you're standing at my front porch and we're talking, and at some point it's like, is this going to end? Like, what's going to happen here? Like, how long are we going to talk? Like, you just brought me a package and you talk at the porch, right? But that's one kind of conversation, right? But then when you say, hey, why don't you, well, then you step into the entrance. Whoa, that's like another level. Now, like, the outside is there, and now you're in the entrance and you're talking, and there's that kind of level. So if Joe, you come and we're in the entrance, we're talking a little bit further. But then I say, Joe, why don't you come up the stairs and you want to like stand in the living room? Whoa, there's now another level of conversation there. But if I ask the question, hey, why don't I order pizza? Why don't you come and we'll just sit around the table and we'll hang out? All of a sudden, time, like now we're not looking at the watch. Right? Now it's like we're sitting at the table and we're not so worried about how quick or long or this is going to be. And now there's potential for intimate conversation. There's potential for relationship. There's potential for something to grow in that. There's face-to-face, sitting forward, listening to each other, passing food around. Jesus tables with them. I know I just made the word table a verb, but Jesus tables with them. He tables with them. He sits down with them for this extended period of time. He's slowed down enough. And again, 40 days until ascension, the world must know about the resurrected Christ. This is going to impact history. And here's Jesus like, we'll just sit and chat for a while. Let's just sit around the table. And Jesus is sitting with them, slowed down, nowhere to go at this point. Not a quick porch conversation. And there's bread at the table. And eating will be involved. And when eating is involved, intimacy grows. And there's this metaphor, you've probably heard it, like I've broke bread with that person. Or you even hear it in culture today, sometimes in a negative way, when a relationship is broken or severed, someone might say, man, you know, I broke bread with them and now we don't talk. Or I broke bread with them and now there's like a wall between us. I just feel that. I broke bread with them and it's been ages. But I feel betrayed, you know, but we broke bread. That phrase, broke bread, has a history to it. It's from the scriptures. It's from even a text like this, and it's from what we're going to celebrate today with the Eucharist and communion with bread and wine. This metaphor is important. It means we've become close. We're breaking bread together. And Jesus does something really special and important in this moment. In verse 30, we would continue to read, when he was at the table with them, well, then he continues, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to them. Just look at this pattern. He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to them. Do you notice what happens here, that Jesus becomes the host? Like he takes the bread. It's not his house. He breaks the bread. He initiates the giving thanks. He passes the bread out. Like that's their job. But Jesus does that in that moment. He becomes a host in that moment and prays and breaks the bread and gives it to them and passes it out to them. And this starts to echo the Last Supper. This starts to echo what he did with his disciples leading up to the cross, where he broke bread with them in that moment and described to them the broken bread being like his broken body. But he's just going through the motions here at this moment. He's going through this pattern. I don't think it's by accident. It's not a coincidence that Luke writes it in this way for us to think about it and remember it, that the bread of life breaks bread with these two people. The bread of life breaks bread with them at their table. He's doing with them what he did with his disciples just before the weekend. He's doing with them what he told his disciples to continue to do in remembrance of him. He does with them what the early church, when we see in Acts chapter 2, after thousands of people come to faith, after Peter preaches a sermon on the day of Pentecost, these new believers, these new Christians come together, and Luke tells us that they committed to four things. They committed to the apostles' teaching, they committed to fellowship, they committed to prayer, and right in the middle, Luke says they committed to the breaking of bread. That the Christians committed to breaking bread together. I don't think it's a coincidence that Luke ties these two together. He ends his gospel with Jesus breaking bread with these two, and he starts the book of Acts reminding us that these early Christians devoted themselves to breaking bread together. Here, the relationship deepens, the experience deepens, the encounter deepens, and it's in that moment that the wildest thing happens. Verse 31 says, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus in that moment. They recognized Jesus in that moment. Jesus becomes known at the table in the breaking of bread. He becomes known to them in a deep, personal encounter type of way. That's why when we do what we do, we call it communion. And it's not just like, it's not just a meal. It's not just bread. It's not just what we do with these elements. It's called communion because there's a union in communion, right? It's like there is a deep type of experience that we have with Christ. Christ is present to us when we take these elements and we become present to him. There's a sense of remembering and acknowledging and making space for us to be present to Christ as he's present with us. And so Jesus in that moment becomes present to them. And they recognize him. They didn't before. They recognize him, and they recognize he's with them. And it's incredible to see that this was marked by the resurrection. It's the resurrected Christ that shows up. And while they didn't recognize him at first, they recognized him in that moment. And so resurrection means that we're marked by presence. We're marked by the presence of the resurrected Christ with us. And they knew it. Like in verse 34, 35, they run back to the other disciples and they say, it's true. The Lord is risen. He's appeared to Simon. And then they begin to tell them what happened, that Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Like Luke tells us exactly in this way, that they go back to the disciples and they tell them, man, as soon as this happened, we recognized him. As soon as this happened, we recognized Jesus actually was alive. Like the risen Christ was proved to them in that moment when they broke bread. They saw him and they recognized him. And he was present with them. And Luke starts to point us to the purpose of this meal that we're sharing today, this means of grace to be present with Christ. What he did for them and he did with them, to be present with them, he longs to do with us and for us, and we open it up so we together as Christ followers can share this together. And if we long for him, he's present with us. The truth is, the resurrected Jesus longs to be present with us. And so to be marked by resurrection is to be marked by presence. That's what God longs for us. And here's the beautiful part here. I don't know if you caught that one other with word, but it's he put it with another word. It's in verse, I think it's in verse 32, yeah. They asked each other, after this all happens, after they eat the bread, after they recognize Jesus, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? It's interesting because, like, they missed it before. They didn't catch it before, but somehow in that moment when Jesus becomes really present with them, then they think back, then they look back, and they realize what happened. Somehow in this deeper moment with Jesus, they start to connect the dots. They start to realize what they missed. They start to think about the scriptures that Jesus unpacked to them, that Jesus shared with them, the way that Jesus was talking to them. They missed it in that moment, but when he becomes present to them, when they recognize him, then they look back and say, oh yeah, that was him, like something was going on in our hearts. And then they recognize, oh, he wasn't just with us. He was within us. He was like doing something in us. Did you catch that? Did you see that? And they're telling that to each other. Like, did you feel that? Did you feel what I felt? There's, you know, the last couple of years as we've had some baptism stories, as people have gotten baptized, there's been a theme in one or two of them that I noticed. And I would catch this when people would share their story as they're saying, like, I've recently come to Christ, I've recently started following Christ. But some people said this, and it was kind of almost this language. They said, as I look back, I realize Jesus was present there, and Jesus was present there, and Jesus is who nudged my friend to talk to me, and Jesus is who got me to show up at church one day, and Jesus, like, man, when my friend texted me when I was in the movie, and he asked me this weird question right at this movie part of the scene that I thought, maybe I need God. Like, why did this happen? And so I'm hearing these stories, and they're looking back, and they're saying something similar to these people. They're looking back, and they're saying, is it possible Jesus was present in those moments, getting our attention? Did you feel that? Did you recognize that? And only now, as they've come to Christ, only now as they've started to follow Jesus, only now as they've begin to experience Christ, and now they're walking with Christ, are they tying the dots together and say, oh yeah, that was Jesus. That was Jesus who did that. That was Jesus who was getting my attention. That was Jesus who was showing up. That was Jesus who was inviting me in. He's been inviting me in for a long time. I'm only just seeing it now. And often we sometimes only recognize it later when we say, weren't our hearts burning within us when God was doing that? Didn't you feel God at work in that moment? We're marked by the presence of Jesus. And I believe as people who follow the resurrected Christ, one of the promises and hopes and desires that God has for you and God has for me is that we would be marked by his presence. Not just marked by knowledge, that's really important. Not just marked by a confession of faith, that is very important as our shift to follow Christ, but marked by the presence of Jesus. And it's not a coincidence that when later Paul, a new follower of Jesus, and later an apostle, when he's writing to the first century churches in these letters, he uses this little word over and over again. In Greek, it's on Christos. In English, it's in Christ. He always says, you're in Christ. You recognize that you're in Christ. You recognize that you're in Christ. And uses that word over and over again, and somehow that little phrase describes what it means to be marked by the presence of Jesus, that we are in Christ. And often Paul reverses that and says, don't you know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory? To describe the sense that we experience as we follow Christ, this union with Christ, this real power and presence of the resurrected Jesus, not merely what they saw, but they experienced him within him. And these two people, what an amazing moment that they didn't just see Jesus. They recognized he was actually working inside of them. That's God's desire for you and for me in resurrection life. Amen? I'm going to invite the team to come up as we take time to share communion together as we close with these elements. And as you're coming up, I want to ask you this, because I believe there's an invitation from Jesus to us. Jesus invites us to know him more. Jesus invites us to come and grow in what it means to be present with him. But he invites us to know him first by belief, like, do we believe in him? Do we acknowledge him, that he's Lord, that he's Savior, that he's risen from the dead? The scriptures say that when we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord, that he's risen from the dead, that we are saved, that we're rescued. Jesus is inviting us. Like, if you're here today and you're thinking, I long for that to happen. I want God to work in me, and you're here, and or you've been coming for a little while because you're just hungry for God to work. That first step is to know Jesus is inviting you. He wants you to know him through belief. And then
through the bread. What I mean by that is he is the bread of life. And when we hold the bread in our hands, we recognize that Jesus' body was broken for us. And even in this moment of breaking bread together, we experience the presence of Christ. Jesus invites us into that. But I think there's also an invitation, not just from Jesus, but I think there's one required from you and from me. And it's an invitation to Jesus. Just like those two people on walking to Emmaus, where Jesus was walking a little further, and they said, Jesus, would you stay with us? I believe that we need to invite Jesus. Like, we need to tell Jesus, would you stay with us? Jesus is ready. Like, he's ready to come in. He's ready to lead our lives. He's ready to show us his love. He's ready to start working deeply in us. But he also is not one who forces himself in. And so he is waiting for you and for me to invite him. Jesus, would you stay with me? Maybe you can use all the words. Jesus, would you walk with me? Jesus, would you stay with me? Jesus, would you table with me? Jesus, would you live within me? These are all appropriate invitations to Jesus. Now, Jesus is way bigger than your invitation, but he'll never exert himself over it. So I'm inviting you today in this moment. Maybe you're maybe two kinds of people in this room thinking about this. Maybe the person who has just been exploring, has been longing to know Christ, has been hearing and understanding a little bit and been with us in our gatherings or maybe in some of our groups or learning about what it means to know Jesus, that he longs for life for you. And he, you know, you just need to ask him, Jesus, would you stay with me? Would you live in me? Would you lead me? When you make that confession, when you make that invitation, you are saying, everything else I've tried doesn't work. The sin and rebellion and distraction has just led me away from you. I acknowledge that. I confess that. But I invite you now to lead my life. And if that's you, even as we pray today, I invite you just to simply express a phrase of invitation to Jesus. But maybe, like me, you've been following Jesus for a while. Maybe you're in a season that you feel disconnected or you feel a little bit lost, or maybe you feel perhaps like God has been quiet or you've been far. And you too, in this moment, not in a starting way, but in a way that just expresses your heart, Jesus, would you stay with me? Jesus, would you walk with me? Jesus, I need you to table with me. I long for that. And maybe as you just share that invitation to Jesus, he's going to show you what walls you've erected, what obstacles have been in the way, what detours you've taken, because he longs to be present with you, right? It's just an invitation. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray, and then I'll lead us towards the bread and the wine. But let's just in an open heart, I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up if they're ready here on the side. And if you need prayer while we're praying or taking communion, you can just go to my left and be prayed for or prayed with. And if this is your desire today, whether it's the first time you invite Jesus into your life, or maybe you're walking through a season where you feel like you long to sit with Christ, but you're not. You long to be walking with Christ, but you don't feel like you are. There's stuff that has gotten in the way recently, and if that's you, I invite you also to express a phrase of invitation. Maybe a way to help you do that is, just like my palms are up open, that's a posture of invitation. Just feel free to do that with me. God, right now, today, it's very likely there's a few people here today or online that so long to know you and have been hungry for you. They've been taking steps to explore. Maybe they've been reading or talking with a friend or coming here with us on Sundays, and they've come to understand that they've been invited to take a step of faith into a relationship with you, Jesus. And if that's them right now, and if that's you right now, would you just in any way that you feel you can say that invitation, just invite Jesus in. Simply say, Jesus, I invite you into my life. Jesus, I invite you to lead my life. Jesus, I invite you to rescue me from sin and rebellion and distraction, because I want to know you and I want to follow you. Would you walk with me and stay with me and table with me? And I'm certain there's a handful of Christ followers here today. You're following Jesus. You are in his grip. He loves you. But you feel distant this week or this season. I just ask you, encourage you, challenge you to invite him. Jesus, we want to sit with you. We want to be with you. We long to be marked by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. God, would you just reveal any walls or obstacles, detours, distractions, because we so long to be marked by your presence and to be present to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message helps guide you on your spiritual journey of discovering the life and message of Jesus. We update this podcast weekly, so why not hit subscribe and journey with us? Who are we? Westside Gathering is a local church in the West Island of Montreal. We're a simple community of faith where we want you to feel welcome, regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey, and hope you can grow with us. We meet every Sunday, but you can also find smaller groups, environments, and resources for all ages between Sundays. We would love to hear from you. Ask a question, ask for help, or let us know how we can pray for you. Find out more at westsidegathering.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo. If you'd like to contribute financially, just go to westsidegathering.com/giving. Until next time, peace.